Thank you for listening to this message from Southwest Baptist Church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. We are a church family desiring to point people to the glory of God. We are committed to equipping and encouraging one another in the faith and evangelizing our community together. If you want to learn more about Southwest Baptist Church, visit southwestbaptisthavasu.org. Now for this week's message from Pastor Rob Westlake.
We're continuing on in this series, Intentional. Really looking at this idea of God's timing, and looking this morning really at the idea of delay. Now we're going to see deliverance, but we're looking at the idea of delay and God's intentionality in the delay of this story. And so if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read a good portion of scripture really to get all of the context here, and we will give you a idea from this that I pray would be an encouragement to your heart as you look at the intentionality of God. So John chapter 11 this morning, you see these words. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Jump down to verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go on to him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we might die with him. Jump down to verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been there, my brother had not died. And when she had said so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The master is come and calleth for thee. Verse 29, and soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then Mary, verse 32, was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Verse 39, Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Verse 41, Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Through this account that we see here with Mary, Martha, Lazarus, the disciples, and obviously Jesus Christ, we see some very strong statements of intent as Jesus works through this scenario. And so as we come back this morning to this idea of God's intentional timing, I want us to look through this scenario and see in the delay of Jesus Christ, in the delay of what we might say is God's deliverance in this situation, that we have the opportunity to bring glory to God because of who he is. Now, it's easy as you read through this passage to really see statements of intention here. Jesus makes an intentional statement to his disciples. He makes an intentional statement to Mary and to Martha. And as he prays publicly, calling on God to deliver Lazarus, he makes a very intentional statement there as well. Jesus had this plan to bring all of these people to this desired end of belief in him. How many of you this morning woke up to an alarm? Anybody wake up to an alarm? How many of you, like me, do not enjoy alarms going off? I am not a fan of an alarm at all. It wasn't till just recently, it was actually a couple years ago, my wife suggested that I needed to get a better alarm. A big siren going off isn't very good. That came when I was starting to work at Walmart, and the alarm would go off at 2:45 in the morning, and this big buzzing sound, it's not an awesome sound. And so she introduced me to this cute, soft, soothing baby music thing that would wake me up. And how many of you know that even cute, soothing baby sounds at 3:30 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, it's not awesome, all right? It's not. But, you know, we have these alarms that wake us up. And I want to challenge us this morning that these alarms that were going off in the lives of Mary and Martha, the disciples, and these individuals at this time of the death of Lazarus wouldn't have been any better than alarm that we hear going off at 2:30, 3:30, 7:30, 9:30 in the morning if you get that privilege to sleep in that late. But none of us are fans of alarms. And so what we understand is it doesn't matter if it's a buzzing sound from a clock or if it's a difficulty that is sounding the alarm in our life to place our faith in God. It's not necessarily enjoyable. However, it is still an opportunity for us to glorify God. Now, how many of you know that through the Holy Spirit, we can give God glory for another day, even at 2:30 in the morning? It can happen, okay? And how many of you know that even in death of a loved one, we can still glorify God? And that's what I want us to really come to see this morning as we think about the opportunity that Jesus presents with these statements of attention and the delay that we see here, that even if God delays in our lives, we can still glorify him through it and really grow to the next level in our faith in Christ and glorify him no matter what situation comes into our life. But let me give you two principles, two concepts, two ideas really quickly that I believe help to stunt our growth, to stunt our faith, to stunt us in glorifying God rather than growing. You find this battle that we go through every day if we are real and true with ourselves, and that is the battle of sin. Sin will stunt our growth and cause us not to glorify God rather than glorify him. Think about the disciples as they followed Christ, and many of them recognized that there was a world that hated what Jesus Christ was doing. And you see, like in this moment with the death of Lazarus, Lazarus was a man that Jesus loved. The disciples recognized that, but they recognized that the area where Lazarus lived was the place of many enemies that Jesus Christ had. And so they recognized that if they were to go, they were going to face some opposition, and they could have easily chosen sin and the battle to hinder them from going. And what we realize in events like this, in difficulties in our life, is we're engaged in this battle because of Adam. And we've talked about this many times, and Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. You saw that battle there. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam and Eve plunged the world into sin because of their choice to choose themselves rather than God. And then we recognize that verse of Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We're born into sin. We talked about that in Sunday school, that recognition. We realize that battle that takes place every day. There's going to be a battle that rages in us. For me now at 4:20 in the morning when that alarm goes off, do I get up and glorify God, or do I argue that it's better for me to just stay in bed and not go to work and glorify my flesh? And there's that battle that what we see rages within our hearts. And sin can often hinder us from going and growing for God and in God. And so because this is true, we need to continually grow in our faith and our knowledge and in our trust that what God has for us in the moment is for His glory. Therefore, we are to glorify God in that. Now, not only does sin, or not only can sin, hinder our growth, it can complicate our life, but consistent good on the other side can be a hindrance from our growing in faith as well. Flip real quickly with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want to remind us that we have to be very careful that we do not allow consistent good to hinder us from growing in grace, growing in faith, growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is a conversation that God was given to Moses for him to give to the children of Israel. And he was to remind them, or he's going to remind them, of the importance of their focus on God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10, we read these words, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou build not, and houses full of all good things which thou filled not, and wells digged which thou dig not, vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." How many of you take time each day to pray and ask God for the good things that He has for your life, right? I mean, all of us want God's goodness, God's grace, God's mercy, God's blessings, and that's what we focus on a lot of our life and ask for. And there's nothing wrong for asking God for the blessings that He offers. How many of you recognize that God has given us a lot of good in North America? There's a lot of good that He has blessed us with here. But we are reminded here that we have to be very careful that we do not become so comfortable with the good things that we forget that God is the giver of those good things. And we become more focused on those good things rather than the giver of those gifts. And so we recognize, even with the children of Israel, they forgot about God and placed their concept of goodness in the things that they had. And we see the fact that they neglected God and ended up going into some struggle. But let's turn our attention, as we recognize that there's going to be a battle as we think about the delays of God that take place in our life. And we might battle to ask God for the good things rather than to work and helping us grow in this situation. We might battle with sin and just completely run from God or not walk in where God wants us to go in those delays. And so we need to recognize those two truths and recognize this battle, but understand that in the delays of God, there is a very real opportunity, number one, to lead people to glorify God. Now, this is just the only point that I have for you this morning. And so I want you to focus on this concept. What do I do in the delays that will help me glorify God? How is God using this opportunity in my life right now to bring glory to him? Notice again in our passage that Jesus says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Notice this, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. How many recognize that is a very pertinent statement of intention? Jesus Christ is doing this for this specific purpose. Now, how many of you again think in your mind, wow, that's pretty harsh. God is going to allow Lazarus to die so that he might be glorified. Where is our mind running to? Our mind is running to us. We're having to face this struggle. We're having to go through this problem. It's all about us instead of the glory of God. Now, notice again, in our passage, he had said, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. Again, he's telling the disciples, listen, it's good for you that I was not right beside Lazarus at this point so that you could believe. Now, because of this, let's go. Let's go into this city and minister to the people. Now, there's nothing easy about this. We would agree. There's nothing easy about what Jesus has just said, both to Mary and Martha and to the disciples. These alarms are going off in their mind, but we have to come to the conclusion that God still deserves to receive the glory in it. And so you think about this. The disciples knew that the Jews hated Jesus, and they were looking for any opportunity at this point to kill him. And so if the Jews were looking to kill him, and they knew that the disciples were followers of Jesus Christ, the alarm probably that started to sound in their mind is this: if we go, we're going to die with Jesus, right? That was their initial thought. Now, are those initial thoughts sin? No. It's what we allow those initial thoughts to do is what becomes sin in our lives. And so we need to be careful with those initial alarms that go off, because that's what can create the sin in us if we allow them to go the wrong way. But we notice that Thomas, maybe not necessarily knowing what he was saying, says this, let us go that we might die with him. They took that initial alarm and said, hey, we're going to go and we're going to die. And so you not only have this battle, these alarms going off with the disciples, but also with Mary and Martha. And again, you recognize that phrase. Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha. And so in their mind, probably, love doesn't look like death, right? How many of you would agree? A lot of times when somebody dies before we think they should die, that does not look like the love of God. And yet, we can understand it as both of these women in verse 21 and in verse 32 pointed to the idea that if Jesus had only been there when Lazarus was sick, he would not have died, and they'd still have their brother alive with them. How many of you have ever heard kind of that reasoning? Hey, you know, it would be easier for me to believe in Jesus Christ if my mom wouldn't have died when I was 12. Or I would trust in Jesus Christ, but there's just too much death for people that don't deserve to die from cancer, right? We hear these statements all the time, and that's the reasoning that people are going through, and they're struggling, and we have an opportunity to help them see that God can use those very difficult alarms to bring belief in him. And those beliefs can come from the fact that that person may never have had an opportunity to hear the gospel if that other person hadn't died. Somebody was brought into their life. Maybe a pastor was called in to an unchurched family to present this funeral, this memorial, and he says something that triggers the truth of God because of this death. And you see how God allowed the death of that person and used it to bring the gospel to somebody who would never have ever had the opportunity otherwise. And so we need to be careful that we do not neglect the intentions of God. And so if we're honest, we may think that way as well, even having become a Christian for a very long period of time. We might make the statement like this: "But God, I've done all of this good for you, and you allowed this to happen in my life." I mean, you can hear story after story after story of someone who was a believer in Jesus Christ, and they turned their back on God because of a delay, because of a difficulty, because of an alarm that Jesus was sounding. And instead of growing in grace and the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that delay caused a determined heart to turn from God instead of to God. And so we've got to be careful that we guard our heart and minds in these alarms as they're going off. And so notice again in our passage where the focus of the disciples were. We are going to die. Isn't that maybe how we act? We are very melodramatic in a delay. Oh God, if you don't deal with this right now, I'm about to die. God, if you don't take care of this bill right now, I'm about to go bankrupt. God, if you don't provide this right now, my car's going to be unmovable, right? We go to the side of melodrama, the worst case scenario, the world's going to burn, right? That's where we tend to allow our minds to go. We're going to die. That's what the disciples said. So you see in this scene that Jesus is intentionally choosing the destination for ministry. He chose the delay for the ministry, and we're also going to see that he's choosing the destination. I guess I could have given you some points right there as I just threw that out there. I could have given you 3 D's, all alliterated, perfect in scenario, but I didn't, all right? So here's what I want to do. I just want to walk through 1 Chronicles. We're not going to read all of this scripture this morning. I've given it to you in your notes, but I want to highlight some points here from 1 Chronicles. As you see this psalm that we're told of David going through a difficulty in his life, and here's what I want to encourage us to learn: how in these initial moments of delay to recognize that there is probably some intent from God in this, so that we respond quickly these ways, or maybe one of these ways, so that we can grow in grace rather than being stunted and working through. We understand that there's just a short period of days in this situation. Now, in our life, if we make some of these choices to turn from God, they can be years to work through this intention before we really come to understand what Jesus Christ was going. But we have an opportunity to work through maybe these days, like the disciples, Mary and Martha, or maybe like years we've seen, and we can work through the delay by constantly glorifying God, or consistently glorifying God, and allowing him to work in our heart as he sees fit. So if you're there in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, you notice in verse 8, this first idea, it says, "Give thanks unto the Lord." How many of you would say in your heart, when an alarm is going off, my first initial response is to give thanks to God? I would say if that is not your initial response, God has given you an opportunity to grow at this point. We see this expression as well in verse 34. And I've highlighted these hopefully in your notes so you can go back and see these, but it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." If you look at this statement that Thomas made in our passage, the struggles of the heart, as well as with the sisters Mary and Martha, the struggles of the heart are there, and they're struggling to give thanks that this is taking place. The disciples are having a hard time thanking God that they get to go back to this city where they are hated, where Jesus was hated. Mary and Martha are having a hard time giving thanks for the death of their brother, and they're struggling in this moment. Now, please understand I grasp the emotions that would be taking place in their hearts and minds. And I'm not saying for a millisecond that giving thanks in these delays or in this destinational choice is going to be easy. I'm not suggesting that for a second. Please don't misunderstand me that alarm goes off and you're smiling as you hit that alarm clock. I'm not suggesting that at all. I get the difficulty in this delay and in this giving thanks, but can I bring you back to this idea that we do have a good Heavenly Father that gives good gifts to His children? And so we can recognize that. And since we cannot see around the corner of life, we can give thanks to Him because we have the promise that God can work together for good all things to them that love Him, to them that are called according to His purpose. So in those moments where that alarm sounds off, we can focus on the fact that we have a good Heavenly Father who desires to give good gifts to them that love Him, to them that are called according to His purpose. Therefore, as that alarm goes off, I can give thanks. It doesn't matter if it's 2:30. It doesn't matter if it's 4:30. It doesn't matter if it's 9 o'clock in the morning. That alarm is going off, and I can give thanks to God. And that is a way that we can glorify God in this intentional delay and destination. Notice David goes on in verse 8 as he says this. Call upon His name. Verse 11, he says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. And so you see this giving thanks that attaches itself to calling on the name of the Lord, seeking God our Father for those good gifts. This is so important for us to remember, because if we're not careful, crying out to God will become our last resort. And then because it is our last resort, there is a good chance that we have already created some very wrong conclusions in our mind. See, we're bringing glory to God because we're keeping ourselves in our proper place. Give thanks to the Lord. Because I'm going to give thanks to the Lord, I'm going to call upon His name. I'm going to seek His face. I'm going to recognize that I don't have this, right? There came a point where I was so sick and tired of 2:30 in the morning, I really didn't want to get out of bed, right? And yet I remembered, God's called me to take care of my family. And this is where God has me at this point in my life. And so I'm going to get out of bed. And I'm going to get up and ride to work in the cold weather and go and work in this cold climate and serve the Lord that way. And so we need to be careful, because we can allow those thoughts to come into our mind and just allow us to run down all kinds of evil paths that lead us to the wrong destination. We need to keep ourselves in proper place. All right, so how do we respond in those initial moments of delay and in those initial moments of struggle and those initial alarms? Give thanks and seek the Lord. All right? I believe you see here in this Psalm of David a second idea. You go back to verse 8, and he gives us a practical way to give glory to God. He says, make known His deeds among the people. At the end of verse 9, he says, talk ye of all His wondrous works. In verse 24, you'll see David reiterating, speaking about the glory of God, as he says, declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all the nations. And then in verse 31, at the end of verse 31, he says, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. All of this brings us back to the conversations that we're going to have, the words that we're going to use from our mouth in the moments of these difficult situations. I think of Paul in prison, singing in a very difficult moment of his life that created an opportunity to allow the Philippian jailer to come to salvation. But what about our own lives? What do we do on a Monday morning when we are so tired out and we go into work, and are we grumbling and moaning about having to go to work on a Monday, or are we praising God that we have an opportunity? Now, what do we do in those moments of delay and we're in front of people? Do we grumble and mumble and moan and complain, or do we speak about the glory of God? I want you to grasp the very big difference that is going to take place in our lives between those two choices. I grumble and mumble and complain, and people are going to say, wow, he is no better off than I am. He's going through the same difficulties and the same struggles, and he's no better off. All right? They know that we're going through a struggle and we're going through a trial, and God's delaying and working in our life as a believer in Christ, and we're singing, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And they're like, what in the world is going on in their life? How is that even possible? Their wife just died. Their husband just died. Their child just died. They were just in an accident. The house just burned down. I just can't grasp what they have, but I want it, right? That's what the Philippian jailer responded with. I want that because I don't understand how it's even possible. You see, in these moments where the alarms are going off, we have the possibility and opportunity to declare, to speak out, to resonate from within so that other people hear. Aren't you glad that God does a work inside of us? Amen. But you know what he wants? He wants that work inside of us to come out of us so that the world can see the glory of God. And so you see these concepts of talking and declaring and speaking out. And then you notice again another possibility that I just alluded to. David not only suggests that we can bring glory by talking about him. In verse 9, he says, sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Then in verse 23, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day unto day of his salvation. I was reminded this week of Horatio Spafford, who lost his wife and children traveling, then months later wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul, and that became a war cry, I might say, of his heart that gave him the ability to glorify God in a very difficult situation. And many of us, as we look at that story of Horatio Spafford, would say, what in the world? And yet he wrote, It Is Well With My Soul. I think of individuals a little more recent, like Bart Millard, who wrote a very powerful song in a very, or because of some very difficult moments of his life. And I want to challenge us. We might not be a Horatio Spafford, or we might not be a Bart Millard who can write out great lyrics in the midst of pain and put a tune to it and even maybe sing very well. I don't know how well Horatio Spafford sang on that boat, but I promise you this, I'm not going to sing very well, but I want to sing praise unto God. And so if you think about this, you might not be a Horatio Spafford or a Bart Millard who can write down lyrics, but we can still sing. So if we can't write them, what do we need to do? We need to hear them, right? We need to hear those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs so that they can work themselves into our life. Maybe we need to hear it over and over and over again, so that like those Bible verses, we can sing them out when we don't have a hymnal or a song book in front of us. But what I want to challenge us with again, and maybe we all need to hear it, but maybe for younger individuals, the music that we're listening to is vitally important. And I'm going to challenge us in weeks to come. God's going to build his church, or he's chosen to build his church through music. But think about this, and I just simply want to talk about the lyrics. We can go to work, and I'll put it in my context. We can go to work, and on the radio is all of these songs, and we can listen to them over and over and over again, And then in the moments of difficulty and pain, we can sing Highway to Hell. Now, I don't know the verses or the songs or the words to it. I'm thankful that I haven't paid enough attention that it's worked itself into memorizing it all, right? And so we're standing in front of the lost world singing Highway to Hell. Or we can sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. See the difference in what we're singing? The world has given us all of these lyrics to sing that leave us hopeless and helpless. And yet God has given us hundreds of thousands of individuals who are giving us lyrics and songs that we can present to the world in the midst of difficulty. And so David says, sing unto the Lord, show forth from day to day his salvation. So I want to challenge you, the music you listen to is important, because it's going to be that music that you're going to remember and you're going to be able to sing from heart. And if all you have is the world's lyrics, you're going to be left empty and ungrateful in God's delays. And so we need to have the song of God in our heart. But notice this, as I started to allude to it already, David gives us another practical possibility in verse 12. He says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Verse 15, be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Remember. You've got to have that memory bank of God's goodness. You've got to be able to go back and say, wow, I remember this alarm was going off in my life, and God worked this way. And if God could do that, then why can't he do that now? And I was thinking of a moment in our life. We were in British Columbia, Canada. And my wife had taken Elijah, I believe, to the pediatrician, and he just was feeling sick a lot and wanted to try and figure it out. And I was sitting in my office, and she called me, and she said, you need to come home. They told us we need to get on the next ferry, because we lived on Vancouver Island, and we have to go to Children's Hospital in Vancouver. How many of you know that's an alarm when they say, you've got to go now? And I mean, your mind gets to go everywhere. Now, here's the problem with living on Vancouver Island, all right? You have an hour drive where we lived. You have a 45-minute drive to the ferry. You have a 45-minute wait to get on the ferry. You have an hour and a half ride across the island. And you have an hour probably in traffic in Vancouver to get to Children's Hospital. How many know that's a lot of time for your mind to wander, right? But God, through David, says, remember. And God had already created some alarms in our life that could cause us to remember. He says, be always mindful of his covenant, the word which God commanded to a thousand generations. You know, I probably should tell you, obviously, he's alive, he's well, all right? They found a spot on his brain they were nervous about, went through some testings. We believe it probably was what led to abdominal migraines, which was causing him to throw up all the time, and it lasted for quite a while, didn't sleep very well at nights. But again, you have to remember, and that delay led us again to the ability to glorify God. You know, it was interesting. You know, just as thinking about remembering, they only allowed one family member to stay in the hospital there at the Children's Hospital. And, you know, everything was just kind of, you know, spur of the moment. So I went down to our car in the parking garage, and I slept in the car in our parking garage, noisy, very hard to sleep. And I just thought about the fact that, you know, in those moments of kind of struggle, God gave me the ability to call out in those moments to God through the night when I couldn't sleep because I didn't have a hotel, which I'm probably grateful now that I didn't have a hotel, because a nice comfy bed with a TV probably would have caused me to do a whole lot of different things, focus on a whole lot of different things than focusing on God. But you think about what God does in those moments of alarm to bring you back to remember. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Let me give you a good remember in this moment. My wife and I had accumulated some student debt. It's death. school is death. But we had accumulated some student debt, and we started because we felt led to go into missions. We started traveling, and it was a heavy cloud. It caused a lot of problems to be able to travel like we wanted to. And all of a sudden, one night, we got a call that said, hey, I want you to know that we received $16,000 and they wanted to pay off your school debt. I still don't to this day know who did that. And so, you know, in those moments, you can remember, hey, if God can give money, he can provide healing. If God can do that from somebody we don't know, God can use a doctor who we've just met in this situation. Remember, be mindful always of thy covenant, the word of the Lord. The disciples, along with Mary and Martha, were really wrestling with who Jesus is. Aren't you grateful at this point in history that we know who Jesus is? Now, you know, both have their benefits. They had Jesus Christ face to face with them. They saw him walking with them. But we know the conclusion of the story. We know the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we need to be mindful of the truths that he's given to us. Be mindful, David says, of the promise that is our Savior and our Redeemer. You see in verse 25 here, a practical aspect of obedience, all right? For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. Verse 30, fear before him all the earth. And what you begin to understand is the reverence that we can grow in of who God is, to learn that we should obey him no matter what situation we find ourselves in, gives us the opportunity through that fear of God to obey God no matter what the situation, no matter the delay, no matter the destination that God is leading us to. And so the disciples heard Jesus say, let's go. They may have gone for the wrong reason, but what do we know? They went. They obeyed and went where Jesus was taking them to. And so you notice as well in our story, Jesus said, roll back the stone. And you notice those words, and these are some of the most fun words of Scripture. But Lord, he stinketh. I mean, can you imagine that word coming off of your mouth? If you go back and remember, and Jesus brings him out, heals him, you know, all I was worried about was he was going to stink, you know? I mean, hey, he's smelly. Yet Jesus says, roll back the stone. What'd they do? They went and rolled back the stone. Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. What did Lazarus do? He came out. They said, take off his grave clothes. What did they do? They took off his grave clothes. Sometimes in those moments where God is leading us step by step, we just have to take that step of obedience. The disciples had to walk with God into this city. They had to walk in these conversations with Mary and Martha. They had to walk to this stone. They had to listen to Jesus say, roll back the stone. They had to listen to Jesus say, come out. And they had to see the results as they took the grave clothes out. You notice that's not one single moment in their life. It was a period of days where they had to obey and obey and obey and obey before they saw that resurrection and power of Jesus Christ. And so you see that obedience. David gives us one more practical way to glorify God in these moments. Verse 28 and verse 29, he says, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. And so you see this offering of sacrifice that can be brought before the Lord. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12 that the way we live our lives is a sacrificial offering to the Lord. We can think about giving, but I like the Macedonian church. They first gave themselves. That's the offering that I think is the greatest offering that we can give to God. We give ourselves. If we give ourselves, every other opportunity for giving is going to come right behind that. And so we can give unto the Lord. And then you see that. I think it's really along with singing, but I put it as its own separate thing. Verse 29, worship. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bring worth to God. This word worship could really encapsulate all that we have just spoken of. But you begin to see, as we think about all that David said in this psalm, the initial reactions we can have to delay. We can give. We can obey. We can sing. We can speak. We can give thanks. There's so many things that we can do initially rather than run from God in his delays. And so these intentions, these alarms, they're difficult. They're hard to think about. And so as we draw this to a conclusion, I challenge us to realize that there is not a single thing about our lives that we cannot turn from problems to praise, that we cannot turn from looking at ourselves and our struggles to seeking God and giving him glory because he is our good Father. And so as Jesus makes this statement of attention here in John 11, we are challenged with the opportunity to believe and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I challenge us always to be looking at how we can attach God-honoring actions to the delays and the difficulties that we find in this world that he is allowed to come into our lives. The disciples have maybe had the wrong reason to go with Jesus. Mary and Martha may have struggled initially to bring glory to God by understanding that he truly had the power to heal sick and had the power over death. But what we find is we can glorify Jesus for his good because of how he has worked in others' lives, because how he has worked in our lives in the past, and we must never forget that God is good at all the time. God is good all the time, even when all our times are not good. That's a great thing for us to remember. God is good all the time, even when our times are not all good. And so I challenge us, as God intentionally brings us to the point where we face our own death because of service to him, where we walk through the valley of death because of some other individual, we learn quickly to pause and focus on how we can bring glory to God in those moments or in one of these ways that we've talked about this morning so that we might grow in grace. That's the initial. It's about us growing in grace, but also so that others might see. Do you understand that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were the initial points of contact in the story? And yet the disciples got to experience the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of these other individuals that were friends and family got to experience the power of Jesus Christ simply because Jesus engaged in their life and they engaged with Jesus. And Jesus was that Father who did a work for them. And so I challenge us that the world is watching us in the good, and they are watching us like a hawk in the difficult. So let's look for God's intention in the situation and glorify him. And if it's very difficult in the moment to see the intention, let's give thanks anyways, because we know he is a good Father all the time. Father, we're grateful this morning for your word. As we move into this hymn of invitation, I do pray that you would work in our lives as only you can. I pray that you would challenge us in these moments to find our trust and our strength in you. I pray that you would help us to be individuals who are obedient to how you are leading us so that we might glorify you in each and every situation. But Father, I do pray that you would strengthen us in moments of difficulty, most importantly, because we know that it's only going to be by your grace and your strength that we return praise, that we give praise to you in those initial moments. But we look forward to being individuals who have great stories through difficulty so that you might be praised and sit on your throne as you deserve and worshiped by not only just us, but by our city around us, because we've seen or they've seen how you've worked in our lives. They've heard the songs of praise in moments of difficulty, and we'll give you the glory for what you're going to do through the time that we've had together. In these things we pray in Jesus' name.
Hey, this is Pastor Rob. Before we end this time together, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to listen to this message. It is my prayer that today's message has helped you to see the glory of God just a little bit more. If you have questions about the good news of Jesus Christ, I would love to connect with you. The easiest way is to just jump over to the Connect section of our website and you can send me an email. If you live here in Lake Havasu and don't have a church home, I would love to meet you on an upcoming Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at our building on North Kiowa Boulevard.